So Davos 2024 has been my favorite session so far. In the last few years of Davos conferences, this one hits it out of the park. They have got the best entertainment. So let's look at some of the highlights from Davos this year. I'm kind of afraid to listen to this because I don't know exactly what's going on, and I'm afraid that this will like affect my spiritual energy or something. Listen to that golf clapping. Okay, it's your turn, people. Everybody looks very concerned. Head of the IMF, she's got her blessing. Yay, my turn. I guess now everybody is ready to start their next struggle session. So I want to show you guys a few more clips here that I found that I thought were pretty good. So check out this one here. This comes from Alexander Soros, who's George Soros' son, who's taken over as chair of the Open Society Foundation, and he's really following in Soros' footsteps. So let's see what wisdom he brought to the table here.
The part I think that we can talk about institutions as these abstract things, but institutions are also about people. Mm-hmm. And we just heard this point about untrustworthy people, and we talked about things in the United States like checks and balances, which aren't written anywhere, but are customs. And one man, Donald Trump, literally came in and just took that all away. But when I see this, when I look at this, more globally regarding democracy, I also say to myself, when was this great time that everybody got along so well and, things were going so great? I mean, I think, I think that we really have to be careful here in this nostalgia. For a time past, because a lot of the reactions we're seeing in society are actually reactions to positive things like equality for women, and greater diversity, which come with backlash.
I bring this up because I've noticed more and more that there are people who have been black-pilled. Now you have red-pilled and you have black-pilled. Black-pilled is like the nihilist pill. It's basically this idea that we have this predetermined destiny that we have zero control over, that there are evil people running around in the world who want to control us and enslave us because they're Machiavellian and they want us dead, basically. But I'm going to challenge that a little bit. So in Hayek's Road to Serfdom, he talks about how the worst rise to the top. We can certainly see now that the worst of society, like these kind of people, run our institutions, they run our countries, they run the supranational organizations, the worst people rise to the top. So why is that? Is it because they're just evil and, they know that they're evil and they want to do more evil, so they climb up the ladder until they get there and then they can commit evil onto everybody on purpose? Or is it more that there are certain people who really crave power and believe that they know best how everybody else should run their lives?
But we don't want to be told what to do. Well, I understand that, but now is the time to do what you're told. And I think it really is something that we should be doing right now.
I tend to think that it's the second part, the second category, the second answer is true. And this is what Hayek points to in The Road to Serfdom. There are people who want to impose their will on others. And what these people do, with or without realizing it, mostly without realizing it, is that they crave power. And the more power that they get, the higher they get up on the rungs of that ladder, the more that they crave power for power's sake. And so as they climb up, they take the people around them who have thought, oh, this person has great ideas for how to run society, for how to run other people's lives, for this new social program, this new socialist program, as Javier Milei pointed out yesterday. These people know best, so we're going to follow them. And then they follow along. And these are like all of the people sitting in the chairs at Davos, all of the elites. They think, oh, we're part of something great. We are doing something for the greater good. They believe it. They believed that it was a good thing to inject the whole population. Yes, there were other incentives, making large amounts of money, becoming more powerful as a byproduct of this, having more control over the sovereignty of nation states surrendering their control to these supranational organizations. Yes, but they actually believe that they have this kind of unique knowledge and understanding about the world. And this is science and technology, and we're able to do all of these kinds of things now. So, you know, we can just toss human rights to the side and we can inject everybody. And if they don't want to take it, well, look, we're going to find a way to force them to do it or coerce them to do it, you know, except for the people who realize that they still ultimately had the choice and didn't do it if they didn't want to do it. But this is why most of the population went along with it, because people really buy this idea that there are people who understand how to run their lives better than them. There's this symbiotic relationship between those who rise to the top and want to tell people what to do, and those who want to be told what to do. Those are the masses. And so these guys work together, and they basically all think that they're doing a good thing. The same thing goes with climate change. Yes, there are people in there who have other financial incentives, who have professional incentives, who say, oh, we can really benefit from this Ponzi scheme, these carbon offsets and all of this other stuff. And there are people who really think we need to save the planet. We need to do something because, oh, us humans, we're so terrible. And, you know, we take up all this space and we emit all this energy and, you know, industrialization and capitalism and farming and everything, like, it's all so terrible. And we need to make up for that.
We cannot think of eradicating poverty without caring about climate, healthcare, food insecurity, and fragility.
We all need to have the ability of dealing with all of these issues at the same time, because we don't have a choice.
The hottest year on record was last year. We really are turning our planet into something that's being destroyed by the minute.
So it comes out of this kind of like existential angst, existential guilt. They're like, we have to do something about this. So the masses, again, get behind it. And then the people who think that they have all of these utopian solutions, they will work towards that. And they will keep going and keep going and keep going until reality hits them in the face. Like, do you really think that these people intend to do ill all the time? And the other question is, do you really think that they're smart enough, that they're capable enough, that they have enough knowledge to do this, to plan everything?
We need a new model for growth that is proactive, not reactive, that is about pre-distribution, not redistribution.
We have to rebuild trust, and most importantly, trust in each other.
This is the problem. This is the real problem with the World Economic Forum, with people at Davos, with the technocrats, with the UN, with the heads of states who are following through with all of these projects, with the WHO. They think that they know best how to run our lives. And this is why it's destructive. Yes, they want population control. Yes, they want to transition to green energy. Yes, they want all of these kinds of things. Do you think that when Bill Gates went on stage and said,
as we make the world healthier, is the population going to get so big that feeding everybody and maintaining the environment is going to be impossible? So Melinda and I wondered whether providing new medicines and keeping children alive, would that create more of a population problem? What we found out is that as health improves, families choose to have less children. And this effect is very, very dramatic. We find that in every country of the world, this is repeated. The population growth goes down as we improve health. Now, 11 billion people, still a lot, but the good news is that the faster we improve health, the faster family size goes down. And so we can feel great about saving those lives.
Do you think that he really meant, oh, vaccines are going to murder people, kill people? I don't think that's what he meant. I think he really meant what he said, is that if we give more vaccines to people, people will have less children, the birth rates are going to go down, and we'll have population control. Oh, and then we're going to live happily ever after. Part of this is that these people think that they're doing good.
Now, fundamentally, how society lives together civically in those contestations is obviously quite tricky. But I think that if we play too much on this disinformation card, we're taking the responsibility away from ourselves to actually create a narrative that inspires people to vote and to believe in democracy and democratic institutions.
My solution to being blackpilled is to read Hayek, read The Road to Serfdom. Think about these things. Try and look at it from a different perspective. If you think that everybody's just out there because they really want to harm you, you're going to kind of feel helpless. You're going to feel like there's nothing I can do. This plan is going to roll out. Look, we already see that there's this resistance here. We've already seen Milei going in there and saying, hey, you guys are doing this socialist experiment that Argentina went through for 80, 100 years, and it didn't work out. And we have a lot of poverty and a lot of debt to show for it and hyperinflation. Well, this is what you guys are doing. And the more and more that the World Economic Forum and types like these people who go there are kind of being put up a mirror to what they're doing and to see, you know, the results of their actions and their ideas, well, that may change things. We are not on some kind of predetermined course here. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to sit there at home and be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go on YouTube and watch this video and like send angry comments? Or are you going to be like, okay, well, how can I make the best of my life? How can I insulate myself from all of these things that I think are going to happen? How can I make sure that I'm psychologically free so that I don't feel bothered by these things all the time? How can I make sure that I'm spiritually free so I feel like my soul feels good? How do I make sure that my family's free? How do I make sure to protect my family, to defend my family from intruders? How can I make sure to have food stability, to have financial stability and financial freedom maybe down the line? You know, these are all things that we can do. So, I mean, these things at Davos are fun to look at, but I don't think that like our whole fates depend on what people like this are saying.
I don't think that's the fundamental.